Welcome to another episode of the Intelligent Document Processing Podcast. I'm Oliver, founder of PowerShift. And today I can welcome Bobby Loy from Celis. I have you with here as an interview guest. Thanks for coming here. We actually got to work together in the context of PowerShift and Celis. Bobby, tell us, who are you?
Oh, I'm not prepared for this question. I was like getting into the topic of IDP. So I'm Bobby. I'm from St. Moritz. I'm since 5 years a partner and chief operating officer at Celis. I've been working in telecommunications before. And since more than 10 years, I'm faced with digital transformation challenges.
Interesting. Yeah, talking about Celis, you co-founded the company or you founded the company?
No, I'm just a partner. Yep. So the company was founded by a school friend of mine, Julian Weber. And we know each other since roughly 20 years. And 5 years ago, I decided to step in and help building the company.
All right. And so what's your role at the company?
I'm in charge of business development, consulting, and all customer relations.
All right. So what does Celis do?
We build digital platforms. So before we had the claim rocking software, but now everything is digital. So, but it's still the same. So we build cloud-based software applications. We do consulting projects. We conceptualize software, digital platforms, and then we build them, we implement them, and we run them.
How does a typical project or product look like that you guys are building?
So it can be an app, like a mobile app. It can be a web application, like a booking platform to book your therapist online. Or it can be more B2B application for your sales force on an iPad that they can do all customer onboarding, know your customer and other processes, and release an offer or a contract from the iPad.
So that's more on the customer-facing end of things?
Yes, mostly B2B customer-facing.
All right. Yeah. Right.
But now we also go more and more into consumer applications. So, for example, we built software for self-order terminals. So maybe you know them from McDonald's, where you order burgers or with your family. Mm-hmm. So we do also this kind of consumer-facing applications.
Is that a big thing, the in-store ordering application? I mean, we know it from McDonald's and those sort of fast food chains, but...
I mean, the thing with digital is like that customers or clients are more and more empowered to do things themselves. Mm-hmm. So, and from this point of view, yes, it is a very big thing. There are many applications, potential applications, where you can enhance self-service and with this get a more faster and more seamless service experience.
You've said before that you've been in the telco industry. I remember the telco industry has like a remarkable transformation towards self-service. So what did you do at the telco? Did that help? Does that help now for transforming these into other verticals then, the sort of self-service approach?
There are two industries which are a bit similar when it comes to customer interactions and self-service. So one is the airline industry and the other is the telco industry. And you have millions, 100,000 of customers, and you want to serve them. And there are different aspects which have to be taken into account. One is cost to serve a customer. And the other one is obviously speed and service experience. And their digital solutions just make more sense than waiting in a hotline.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, so from this point of view, these both industries are like front running when it comes to digital service experience. But still, there are, in both industries, there's a lot room for improvement. So recently, when I had an issue with moving, so moving from my internet service to the new apartment, so suddenly the customer agent sent me a link, SMS with a link, and could access my phone. So I could show him the cabling, the TV socket, and also the lights on the modem without losing time explaining this via phone.
Yeah.
So this is another experience, example how the customer experience can be improved with digital solutions.
I think of customer success and customer experience in support, over time I realized there are like two groups of people. Ones that are eager, that think saving cost is most important, and the other ones is that are thinking creating this exceptionally good customer experience is the most important things. Which group are you?
I believe in an amazing customer experience, and it can have another winning effect like cost savings, but I truly believe in customer experience. And then the self-order terminals are a great experience. So you can stand and observe how people prefer to go to an order, to a self-ordering terminal than to the counter. Why? Because they feel more inspired on one hand. They feel less pressured because at the counter you have this pressure of a queue. And it just goes faster. And so from studies, we know that people at the self-order terminal order more at the self-order terminal than at the counter. So imagine you have a queue and the colleague who is serving the counter is stressed. So he won't ask, oh, do you want an additional sweet and sour sauce? Do you want maybe spring rolls as an add-on? There is no time for upselling. So it's really amazing to see how digital solutions can not only enhance the waiting time or speed up the waiting time or speed up the service time, but also increase upselling or cross-selling.
That's amazing. I actually wonder why it's still 2022. I still can go into a retail store selling apparel. And then if they don't have the piece in my size, it's cost them like a lot of time to actually find, or if there's some pieces in the stock, or then they come up with, well, we can order that and all these kind of things. Is there some sort of component that you can offer like retail stores that they can tackle these kind of problems? I always thought like would be easy that you like have a terminal where you can just search for the missing piece yourself, and also then that goes with the in-order stores thing. Also choose the right piece and directly pay for it and get delivered home. So nobody's doing that, almost nobody. Yeah.
This omni-channel experience, like you describe, is something. There is actually one provider which is very good in it. It's Burberry. Mm-hmm. So go to a Burberry store and you will be fascinated how fast they can orchestrate your demand in all channels. So this is one good example, but you're right, the others, they recently went to a retailer to buy a hairdryer, and they were looking, and he went 15 minutes to the stock and didn't find it and sent me to another shop.
Yeah, that's exactly
the same. Yeah, so this is normally the normal experience.
I find it funny that sometimes they say, well, but I can order it for you. And I think for me, I mean, you're okay, guy. No offense, but you have no idea how fast I can order. By just walking out of the store, I have ordered the piece. Sooner than I can get to the car, I have already ordered it for back home. So
it would have been faster in this case to order via e-tailer.
Yeah,
online, via Digitech or so. But I wanted it now.
Yeah, sure.
So the thing, what we do in B2B is especially for the insurance or telco sales force. So we built front ends, sales front ends, which they can access via an iPad and have all relevant information digested, aggregated, that they can really use it fast and immediate and live with the customer. So this is what we do. And this, the same way how to approach this, so making data available, visualize it, make it like nice to work with it. So this is something you can also do in retail for your sales, for the retail sales force in the store. The exactly same approach. So yes, we can do that. So basically what this retailer did before, which is a good practice, he actually they have 6 or 7 applications, but they managed to aggregate it in a simple way for the store colleagues that they can use it live with the customer. So this is something, so it's about data availability, information availability, stock availability. So it's connecting different systems and make this information available, because everyone has this kind of systems. They know how much stock they have. They have an ERP, they have a CRM, but they are not able to connect the dots and simplify it, that the non-digital, mostly non-digital sales crew is able to use it.
To use it easily. All right. So what you're saying is that there's actually an architectural thing that's holding them back.
It's not even architecture. It's just providing them front ends, which they understand. Because not everyone is digital native.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. So they in terms of use of application, ease of use. Okay. So you're not saying that the backend systems are the problem? So that they're like legacy systems that are hard to connect? And
I mean, every company has legacy. That's a fact. And ERPs are known to be a bit more legacy and maybe not that customer centric. But the information is there, the features are there. It's just the way how to present it to the people. And there is definitely demand and a need for customer centric or user centric front ends. And ERPs are typically not known for that. That's a fact. But on the other hand, ERPs serve very important functionalities and benefits for a company, right? Stock management, inventory, whatever, right? Financial information. So it's, I wouldn't say you have to change the ERP. Please provide simplified user-centric front ends for your sales crew.
All right. Understood. Yeah, so you guys obviously have like a huge experience in digital transformation, like walking side by side with clients and sort of get things done. What is your approach? Are you actually actively approaching clients with ideas so that you can sort of reuse some of the project ideas or maybe even the components, or are you just waiting until the customer is coming and says, well, I have a new idea and we need to get that done?
Yeah, I would love to have this situation that I'm just sitting here and waiting for customer calls. Unfortunately, this is not the case, definitely not. So, I mean, digital is nothing new. So before they used to call it IT or process automation, right? So the industry is 30, 40 years old and there are many providers. So there are many niche providers, the big system providers like Microsoft or SAP. Then there are medium-sized companies. Then there are the outsourcers. So the competition is huge in the field. So waiting for someone calling is definitely not the option. What we are partnering with our customers we identify customers who are in a later stage when it comes to digital readiness or digital awareness. So mostly B2B, and there we approach them with ideas how to simplify process, how to save costs, how to make more sales. So this is normally our sales approach. So we
so you have an idea.
We try to be a partner for our prospects and customers, that they can differentiate themselves from the competition, that they can provide better customer service, or that they just can save costs to make more sales. Yeah, so this is normally how we go. So it's definitely we approach them. And yeah, and the other nice effect now being in the 10th year or in the 11th year of business is that we have definitely some word of mouth. So we have referrals, we have recommendations, and we also have like a partner network, like you are part of the partner network, and this helps boosting our sales. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so in terms of how big are you? I understand you're a pretty international company as well.
We are 500 colleagues. Yeah. So we have now 7 locations. So recently we opened a location in Kosovo. And we are in the process of opening an office in Germany, which is not that easy, the ease of doing business in Germany. Yeah. So in Kosovo, it was much easier. So it took us one day. Mm-hmm. In Germany, we're waiting now since 3 months. Up to anyone to judge on that. So our head office is in Zurich. We are now since 1 year at the Circle at the airport. And then we have...
That's just a coincidence that you're there. So it's not something you're actually looking for the travel industry more.
I mean, the Circle became definitely the tech hub in Switzerland. So many big IT players move now into the Circle. And so it was a nice coincidence. But it's not that we are focused on the travel industry or so, but we are an international company and it's very convenient. So we also have an office in Dubai and we have a lot of colleagues in Asia, in Bhutan. Mm. So we operate also in Bhutan and in Bangladesh. Mm. So the founder and CEO of our company, Julian, he actually sits in Bangladesh.
Right.
So it's really a hybrid Swiss-Asian company. Yeah. So we are very international, yes, and COVID helped a lot in terms of that the location is not important anymore. So working with tools like Teams or Google Meet increased our efficiency massively.
Did a lot change with like the COVID restriction for you as a company? I mean, not talking of demand or like client relationship, more of like internal organization.
I mean,
did you have more meetings?
The client relationship definitely turned more digital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it doesn't matter where people sit anymore. Mm-hmm. But it changed. I mean, the way we do agile development, we do agile co-creation. So you know it yourself. Mm-hmm. So people sit in the same room, the product owner, the business analyst, the delivery manager, the front end and the back end developers, right? And suddenly you're forced to work from home. There is a lockdown. You have to send all people home. I mean, to manage the productivity, this was quite a challenge to have to say, right? Imagine you're in the same room. You can, a coder has a question and then you can immediately answer it. And now you get 30 Teams chat message. Hey, what shall I do now? So, yeah, this was definitely a change in working, but it worked out now. We are now 2 years confronting with this, and this new way of work is definitely an inspiration. But I still believe that the office space as a point to meet and to exchange is still very important.
And
even after these 2 years now, and now we have like slight signs towards opening everything, I think personal meetings, personal events are still very, very
super important.
Yeah, sure.
I agree. Yeah, super important. Super interesting. If you look at digital transformation, like for the past 5 year, what do you think are the three most important things that changed? Obviously, it's a very changed landscape. If I remember back from 10 years, I was a consultant and entrepreneur, basically. Then also, I'm so old that I was in digital transformation when we still called it IT. Yeah, so that's the same. I am very much in for that. Saying, what do you think has changed right now that enables next steps for the coming 3 years? So, do you see any bigger trends? And
there are three things where the change got accelerated, I would say. So firstly, travel. the importance of travel for business reason or not. I guess there we have a change in terms of more leisure travel, less business travel. The second thing is like work collaboration. So now Meet, Google Meet or Teams is like a standard or Zoom. So 2.5 years ago, it was definitely not. So now everyone, if you have a meeting, immediately a team invitation goes in because you never know if the people show up face to face or via virtual. Right? And the third element who changed is this omni-channel buying. Because in certain countries, they were not allowed to go out of the house, right? They were, we were still allowed to shop in the supermarket, but in certain countries, they had to stay at home up to 6 months. So they had to be forced to buy online. And I mean, in Switzerland before COVID, the share of online e-commerce was 4 to 6% in food. So I'm wondering now how it developed. I think it's still on a very low double digit number. So these three things accelerated change, but the rest not really changed, I would say. It just accelerated certain point. That's at least from my my point of view. The awareness for delivery maybe in Switzerland that that you can really get things delivered. But when you look at services like Gorilla or Stash in other countries, this was already given.
That was already here.
Right, yeah, like in big town, in big cities like New York, this was like a standard. So I would say three things got accelerated, but not really changed that. I'm not maybe what do you think? What really?
Well, it's I think it's hard to say. I think it's like from our perspective, also here at Parashift, and from talking to decision makers for quite all the years, basically, there was a lot of discussion around, is it really worth investing heavily into digital initiatives? So people were like really, I had a feeling like 50% is doing digital initiatives, but is not fully convinced that this is the right thing. And I heard a lot of things like, we don't want to become a software company. And I went like, you're using electricity, so that doesn't make you a power company, basically. So why is that there's like a certain mental distance to software? And I think with COVID and the restrictions we had, that sort of, it just skipped this whole discussion. I mean, maybe I have a biased view because, you know, we're talking to people that are asked, that are looking for, going places with digital transformation. So I'm the more hesitant people, probably they will not ask anything from Parashift. But in the end, I think I have the feeling like there's a lot more consensus on, well, we need to go forward and heavily invest into digital transformation. So I think that's something that has changed for the good of us, basically. Yeah.
I've been asked many times, did we face increasing demand? I would say not really. So yes, we feel an urge to do something at certain industries, like especially in gastronomy, because they had to shift to online ordering, to takeaway business, to delivery business, right? So there I feel an urge, pressure to do something, but not really a belief, as you were saying. And then there are other industries which were like affected by COVID, like the pharma, because they have med reps visiting the doctors. This wasn't possible the last 2 years. So there we face an increasing demand for digital transformation. Or let's go into production facilities, right? So you where you have paper-based workflow triggers, right? So I pack the thing, now you can send it. Or I'm done with the chocolate, please pack it now in the packaging and then send it, right? And these are paper-based workflow triggers, which are underlying. And I mean, this, I'm not sure if they had to change this because they had to, maybe they had to shut down the fabric for 2-3 months in the first lockdown, but later they were back on again. And I'm not sure if they changed anything in this, in the way how they did it. Yeah. Right. And then on the other hand, maybe you know this running paper running back, right? So you have a map, then maybe the graphic team is finished, then you send it to the marketing manager to review it, and then you send it to the back to the agency with your corrections. So there are many companies who still do this paper-based, right? And suddenly they were forced to be sent to home office, and then they couldn't do it. So the paperbacks were lost somewhere at home, somewhere at the agent, and it didn't work anymore. So they had to find a way to work digital, I'm pretty sure. So they suddenly changed it. And before they wouldn't feel the need to do it.
Sure.
So, and then again, another example, so this is something I still wonder when I check in at a hotel. They put your piece of paper, right, for the tourist tax registration. Yeah. Then they collect it and they send it. So, I mean, even with COVID, this hasn't changed. And this would be so simple.
Sure.
To change it with the OCR solution. I mean, they still can fill it out by paper, but don't collect this. I mean, imagine now where we all became so bacteria and viral sensitive. Someone is collecting all these papers for someone. I mean, or then they put 50 pens there that you always use a new one. I mean, the digital would help so much.
Yeah. It's actually funny. One of my colleagues here saying that collecting the Daily Mail, so it's like you're opening the envelope saying, now we're unpacking the viruses. And then you this delivery of viruses coming in. Well, time flies. What are your goals for the next 3 years with Cellies?
Accelerate our growth.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is still a lot of potential in the Swiss market, maybe. Let's hope that the German company is founded soon. Then maybe Germany would be an interesting market to enter. Yeah. But still in Switzerland, there are a lot of industries where we like to deepen more in. So which is insurance, in telecom, I still believe potential pharma, I mentioned before, and retail and gastronomy. So there's still a lot to do. And as you said before, it's not really 80-20, it's 50-50 when it comes to the urge or the feeling to digital transformation.
All right, exciting. Yeah, wishing you best of luck. Thank you very much for coming here. And I hope we will see each other soon on any other occasion. Thank you.